We're pressing further tonight on the series that I've titled The Total Man. We've had a number of weeks on the Total Man series, and I've focused majorly on your spirit man. But we're moving further tonight from the spirit man to the soul. Man is a tripartite being. And what does that mean? Man is made up of three parts. Every person you see, male or female, is made up of three parts. Essentially, we are all spirits. So man is a spirit. You don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. And I think understanding that will help you a lot in life, to understand that you're a spirit. People who commit suicide, actually, of course, that's the work of the devil. To trick them to do that is not the work of the Holy Spirit. But they fool themselves at the end of the day. Because if you stick a gun to your head and you pull the trigger, I want to go and rest. I want to finish it up. I'm tired of this life. And you pull the trigger, the body will fall. Blood will spill all over the place, and they will say, this person is dead. But the person will discover that they're still alive. And they will say, but I thought I killed myself. But now they have gone into another world, into eternity. From the realm of time, they've moved into eternity. They'll be shocked that they're still living, because a bullet does not kill a spirit. So the eternity they will go to, I don't know. But, I mean, if somebody takes their life, it doesn't sound good. And it doesn't sound scriptural. But what I'm sharing with you is that they will be shocked that they still have another form of reality. The only difference is they cannot operate in this three-dimensional material realm anymore, because you need your body to make contact in this realm. You want to shake hands with someone, you need your body. You want to hug somebody, you need your body. You want to eat your physical food, you need your body. I mean, for me to read my Bible, hold this lectern, I need my body. It is with the body we make contact and connection with the physical realm. With the soul, we make contact with the mental realm. And then with the spirit, we make contact with the realm of the spirit, the spiritual realm. So if you kill your body, you haven't killed your soul and you haven't killed your spirit. You remember when Lazarus died and was at Abraham's bosom, the parable, and the rich man also died. You remember that the rich man in hell, where he was saying to Abraham to tell Lazarus to please dip his finger in water to quench his thirst. Now, the man had died and he was buried, according to the scriptures. Lazarus also died and he was buried. So their bodies were gone. But the man could still recognize Lazarus. In fact, he could recognize Father Abraham. That's the function of your soul, because your soul is the center of your intellect. You are able to recognize people. You can read and understand. You can speak English, speak French. All of that is within the soulical realm. So the rich man could recognize Lazarus. That means when we die, our soul will not die. And then because you are a spirit, spirits don't die. So committing suicide is an act of foolishness, because you are still real. The only thing is that in this realm, you are no longer real. And you cannot function anymore in this realm. That's why demons also possess people. They look for people to enter and possess. Because without a body like this, you cannot function in this realm. And they want to function in this realm by force. That's why they compel people, move people, force people to do stuff that are not godly. Because they are always looking for a body through which to operate. Demons are real. They are real. They are spirits. But they are persons without bodies. So they are looking for persons with bodies to possess. Are you with me tonight? So those three realms are very important. It's important that you understand that as a complete person, the total man that you are a spirit, you have a soul, then you live in a body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that's our anchor scripture. Can I have that on the screen? And then I want to read a few other scriptures tonight as we start a journey to the soul. 23, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify, meaning set you apart for a holy use. Holy. And I pray, God, look at the arrangement. Your whole, number one, spirit. Because that's the innermost you. The innermost part of you is your spirit. Your whole spirit. And then soul. That's the next level. And then body, which is the outer part of you, which is the you that we all see. So, between your body and your spirit, there is the soul that is sandwiched in between. All right? So, he said, your spirit, your soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't say your body first, because your body is not the most important part of you. Your spirit is the most important part of you. In the world system, they think your body is probably the most important part of you. People worship themselves. People do all kinds of things. They are crazy about their body. They are madly in love with their body. And people flaunt their body. People do all kinds of things with their body because they think that's all that there is to them. And it's a foolish way of thinking. Because if you go to the mortuary, if you have the privilege of ever being there, you will discover that this body is just cadaver. You would not even like it. It's a piece of meat and bones once the breath is gone. So all the gra-gra, I am the president, I am the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, I am a senator, I am this, I am that. Do you know who I am? When two Nigerians are arguing, you hear that phrase a lot. Do you know who I am? Who are you? When you breathe your last, you are just cadaver. The greatest of all men is nothing when the breath returns to the owner. And people live for their body. They live like their body is all that there is about them. There is another group of people who think that their soul is everything about them. So they just want to learn and learn and learn and learn and impress people with so much knowledge and intelligence that they exude. They just want to impress you. Impress you with their knowledge of Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew words and Chinese and Christianese. You know, when Paul said this in this place, you know, Paul actually meant that they just want to impress you. And so they have their soul swollen with knowledge so much. But how many people know that the world doesn't care how much you know? They only want to know how much you care. It's not about what you know. In fact, life is not about what you know. Life is about what you do with what you know. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? It's not about what you know. It's about what you do with what you know. There are people that can give you scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, but you look at their lives and it doesn't reflect the kingdom of God. Do they know? Yes, they do. But are they wise? No, they are not wise, because wisdom is the application of knowledge. Amen? So, it's not about your soul. The most important part of you is your spirit. That is the part of you that connects to God. And God is the source of your life. When you disconnect from God, death begins to set in. Psalm 36 and verse 9, it says, for with you, with God, is the fountain of life, the very source of life. One translation says the spring of life, where life springs from. It says it's with God. You know what a fountain is? I mean, if you go to like Ventura Mall, for example, I don't know if that fountain is still functional. They have a fountain right in front of that mall. Maybe now that there is no electricity and no water, they don't operate every day. But I mean, if you go to some 5-star hotels, you see the fountain is running 24/7. And the water is just springing up. That's the way life is pumped into us from God. Because with God is the fountain of life. He said, and then in your light shall we see light. So that the part of you that draws life from God, from the life of God, is your spirit. And you need to pay attention to your spirit. And I told you some time ago when I started this series that you can train your spirit. You can train your spirit man to be strong. You need to train your spirit because you need that part of you to have dominance over your soul and over your body. If the soul has dominance over the spirit, you are going to be in trouble. You are going to be so proud that nobody can talk to you. You'll be proud of what you know. You'll be proud of the knowledge of science and arts and social sciences that you know, that you have garnered over the year. In fact, you can be proud of the knowledge of the Bible. I know the Bible. You can't tell me nothing. I know the Bible. I know where it is. You can know the Bible, but do you know God? Because knowing the Bible is not the same as knowing God. Don't get it twisted. Oh my God. Knowing the Bible is not the same as knowing God. A criminal was caught and he was being interrogated and he was quoting scriptures. And he was trying to justify his act. Are you crazy? And he had scriptures for what he was doing because people tried to make the Bible say what they wanted to say. The knowledge of the Bible is not the same as the knowledge of God. The Bible is the word of God, yes, and it should lead us to God, yes. Know the Bible, know the God of the Bible. Know the God whose character is spelled out in his word. Don't sit down to memorize it because you want to impress people. You know, you can be an artist, for example. You can be an actor, and then they give you a script, and then you sit down. Normally, artists will read their script and know their lines, and the day of production is not the day you want to start looking at your script. Your director will shout at you. As an artist or as an actor, they can give you a portion of the Bible to read as your lines. They want you to render your lines. Now, the fact that you are given the role of Jesus, does that mean you have a relationship with Jesus? If you are given the role of a madman, do you have any relationship with a madman? You are just trying to enter character, that's all. And once the production is over, you get out of character. They can say you should be a cultist. You've never been in a cult all your life. But you study how cultists dress, talk, act, behave, and then the day you act like it, they say, man, have you ever been in a cult? And you've never been in one. You just got into character. Do you know people act like that with the Bible? There are pastors who are not born again. They are just actors in the pulpit. How do we know? By their lifestyle outside of the pulpit. You cannot know Jesus of this Bible and do certain things. No, you cannot. Even the world has expectations of us. If it's, do you know, you do certain things and your friends, they're like, ah, Sister Gbotoluwa, Sister Gbomi, and you're a sister, and you'll be the one preaching, you're the one who's always preaching to us in this office. Because they have expectations of you. Today, in the church, sadly, there are churches who are telling you that there are no expectations anyway. You don't need to bother about the expectations of the world. You don't need to bother. They make you feel that even God doesn't have expectations. Do anything, you're accepted. You're fine. It's about grace. No standard, nothing. But the Bible does talk about the standard of God. And the Bible does say that it stands sure. The Bible does tell us that it bears this seal, that let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Depart from it. Walk away from it. So your head can be full of Bible knowledge, but you don't know the God of the Bible. Do you know there are Muslims who have Bibles? They read the Quran and they read the Bible and they can quote the Bible to you. But you see, the letter killeth. It is the spirit behind the letter that gives life. Can I have an amen to that? So, we've talked so much about developing your spirit. I spend so much time on it because that's the most important part of you, really. God wants that part to be so strong that it controls your soul, what you think, and then controls your body, what you do. This body is not born again. All of our bodies, including pastor's body, is not born again. The part of us that got born again, the day we gave our lives to Christ was our spirit. If we don't feed our spirit, this is the food for the spirit. If we don't exercise our spirit, exercise of the spirit is praying in the spirit. Jude, verse 20. But you, beloved, building up like pumping iron, building up yourselves, and I'm going to the gym this month, in Jesus' name. Building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know that if you don't exercise, I'm not in the gym yet, but I exercise. I do some mild exercise around the house. Sometimes I walk on the estate where I live. I know exercise is good. And that's why I keep declaring by faith, I'm going to enter the gym. Because I know what exercise can do for your body. You need it. At your age now, it's optional, but you get to an age where exercise becomes a prescription. I don't want to get to that point in my life when it becomes a prescription before I start exercising. No. I don't want to ever let anything happen to me that will make the doctors tell me that I have to eat healthy before I start eating healthy. I want to eat healthy now. And like they say, you eat your food like medicine. Otherwise, you're going to eat medicine like food. So you choose what you eat, not junks. Healthy. It doesn't have to be the quantity now, but the quality of what you eat. So your spirit man needs to be so strong that it will control the thoughts that go to your soul. Because the thoughts that go to your soul will dictate to your body what to do. The woman of God, Joyce Meyer, said, wherever the mind goes, the man follows. And I really want to zero in on the mind tonight. I'm going to start on the mind, the renewal of the mind tonight. Because after being born again, I think the next topic we should be taught is the renewal of the mind. And I tell you why that is important. We make decisions every day. In fact, the Holy Ghost said that to me this evening. He said, you make decisions every day. The mind is like the powerhouse of your persona. That's where decisions are made. You guys made it to church tonight against all odds. We are all in Nigeria. We are all dealing with fuel scarcity. We are all dealing with hike in the prices of transportation and prices of food and prices of everything. We are all facing the same situation, whether we have cars, we don't have cars. If you have a car, you're buying petrol or PMS. If you don't have a car, you're using public transportation. It's money we're all spending. But you made up your mind that against all odds, I'm going to be in church. There are other church members who didn't make up their mind. In fact, I had a chat with someone who said she wanted to talk to me about something in her life, a new member of the church. And she said, Pastor, it's all important. I would really appreciate it if I can talk to you about it. And I said, okay, fine. Are you coming to Bible study tonight? She said, I didn't plan for it, sir. In other words, I didn't make up my mind to be here. And because she didn't make up her mind to be here, she's not here. There's no prayer I pray now that will yank her off her bed at home. She's probably on her bed now, just chilling, chillaxing. But you made up your mind. That's why you're here. That's how powerful your mind is. If you make up your mind, listen, I heard this from my father in the Lord years ago, and I know it now like I know it. The day you make up your mind to not be poor again, that you are not going to be poor again in your life, from that day, you begin to break the hold of poverty. Poverty, all of these thoughts are strongholds. Strongholds are holds that are very strong around your mind. They are like iron casts around your mind, such that you can't think outside the box. Such that even when a word of prophecy comes or a promise from the word of God comes or somebody tells you that God is really going to do something amazing in your life very soon, you look around and say, is that really me? Could that be me? Well, I hope so. But how come we are quick to believe the negative? How come we have a challenge believing God, trusting God, believing his promises, taking his word, ho-ha, like they say, on the street? How come? Have you ever thought about it? A doctor can tell you now we've run some tests, and I'm sorry, we've seen some carcinoma in your blood sample, and that's cancer. And from the book, according to the books, you have about 2 years to go because it has progressed to stage 3. What is the natural immediate response of anybody that hears such a death sentence.
You mean?
When they hear cancer, immediately they see death and people begin to cry. We believe such negative reports instantly. In fact, we don't just believe it, we possess it. But tell them, by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. I really
hope so.
I really trust that God has me on his mind. I was talking to a lady earlier today, and she was talking to me and she was crying. I said, "Madam, big woman, why are you crying?" Well, she said, "Pastor, you know what? I pay my tithe. She goes to another church. She doesn't come to our church. I just happened to meet her, and then I decided to share God's word with her. And I just don't know why all these things are happening to me. My parents are this and that. There's a major problem in their family. And today she hasn't made any money, and she has had to send money to take care of her dad who is down with stroke. And the mama that was taking care of the dad also broke down. And business is not, I mean, you can see business is not moving. And I pay my tithe. And God said, I said, ma'am, your eyeballs are red. What are you doing? What are you believing? Somebody's telling you that God doesn't really have your time, like God really doesn't care. That's the job of the devil. And that's why we need our mind renewed. That no matter how dark my situation may seem or may ever get, I know that God has got my back. And if he's got my back, weeping may only endure for a night. It's only allowed to endure a night. I know that morning is coming. And as long as morning is coming, joy is coming with the morning. Psalm 30 and verse 5. That's a mind that is renewed. Let me tell you, there is too much negativity in this world. Don't ever expect the world to give you positivity. Read the Nigerian news. That's all you need for depression. That's all. You want to be depressed? Just get on the news every day. We are still grappling with band A, band B, band C, bandit of electricity tariff. Now they've come with cyber security levy, 0.5% of your money. When are we going to ever wake up to good news in this country? This is my good news book. Amen. But you can only enjoy the benefits of this book if your mind is renewed. So, we've spoken so much about the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Meditate on the Word of God to build your spirit man. I've said that already. Go get those messages I taught earlier, this series. Get the audio. Listen as you go to gym, as you go to class, as you walk out or walk on the road. It will help you. Now, number two part of the total man that I'm starting tonight is the soul. The soul is divided into three parts. You have your mind, number one. Your will, number two, and your emotions, number three. So somebody say with me, my mind. Say it. I wanted to repeat it so that you can get it registered into your spirit. Say my mind, my will, and my emotions. Those are the three compartments of the soul. The powerhouse is the mind. And that's where we're going to spend some time. This is going to be a journey, actually. I'm going to teach what the lead pastor has taught on the process of renewing the mind. I've always spoken about the power of a renewed mind. One of our brothers here, Michael Shobowale, he made a first class in UI. I remember that when we started, we reopened the fellowship because the fellowship had died years before. And then we went there, we didn't even make any noise, no concert. It was just Bible study. And I started Bible studies there along with Ayodeji Adio, who is our pastor in the Stone Church, Hanover, Germany now. I dedicated one particular service or so to the renewing of the mind. And Michael came to me and said, no, he sent me a message afterwards. And said, "Pastor, I've never heard it like this before." He said, "This is like my own superstar message. The power of a renewed mind." The Lord taught me that if you can get your mind renewed, That's a mind that can believe for anything, can believe God for anything. That's the mind that says impossible is nothing. Some minds, as the word of God is coming like this, it bounces it back. Pa, pa, pa. And you can tell by the results we are having in church. Everybody comes every Sunday. Maybe not everybody comes every Thursday, but everybody comes on Sunday, right? How many people are really, really gaining something from what they are hearing on Sundays? I'm not talking about in terms of material things, just, you know, you buying cars and new clothes and all that. But the transformation that is taking place in your life. Yes, some are transformed and they are happy about it. They are joyful. But some people, it's just like they're not making any spiritual progress. So to them, coming to church is just, let me tick my calendar. Or I don't want pastor to bother me. Let me just go. Or I don't want my head of ministry to bother me. Let me just go. But some come and they keep coming and they look forward to coming. Because they are getting something. They are being transformed. Transformation does not come unless the mind is renewed. I'll show you a scripture. Romans chapter 12. So I'm going to, in fact, I've started on the mind. So I'm not going back. I'll talk later about the will and the emotions. But the mind, very important. Romans 12, I'm going to take verses 1, 2, and 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your bodies now, not your spirits, your bodies, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice, so it's dead, but a living one, because we don't want you to die, but we want your appetites, your sinful appetites to die. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it's important that you dedicate your body to the Lord, not just your spirit. Some say, well, that sin I committed was my flesh, not my spirit. God wants your body as well, not just your spirit. Are we together tonight? So all this rascality of, well, you can't judge me. I mean, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Yes, I know that's who you are. So it was my body that committed that sin. If you steal money and you are caught, it's my body that committed it. You can't jail me. You can't jail my spirit. Okay? We won't jail your spirit, but we'll jail the body. And the body houses the spirit. Isn't that foolishness? That's your reasonable service, your body, as you present it to the Lord. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't blend. Don't blend with the world. Light does not blend with darkness. Wherever there is darkness, when you turn on the light, what light does is to chase darkness out. Not to say darkness, come on, you know what? We can live together. You can squat with me. We can blend together. So a little bit of light, a little bit of darkness. No, no. The moment light comes, it takes over. We don't take sides. We take over. Can I have an amen to that? Can I have an amen to that? So, be not conformed to this world. There is a pattern of this world. The Bible is very clear on this. Be not conformed to this world. I read something today that was staggering. The United Methodist Church in America just lifted, they just repealed their ban on the gay priests. In their churches. So, I saw a statistic, like they had like 360 something priests and 160 or 180 something out of, no, 160 something out of them are in same-sex marriage. And the church had frowned at it for a long time, but now the church is saying, you know what, maybe we are too strict. Let's take it easy. It's a, you know, the world is evolving. Like it's a new generation thing, and we need to let people express themselves. And gradually that is creeping into the church. The father of Methodism, the Wesley brothers, Charles Wesley, John Wesley, these men were men of prayer. These men rode on horses to go preach the gospel for several miles. It was John Wesley that he prayed to a point, he made a statement that the world is still grappling with till today. He said, I believe, as it were, that without God, man cannot. And without man, God will not. God wants to do things on earth. Like, we're praying for a revival. But if we don't pray for him to come and do a revival, he won't do it. Without an intercessor, God won't work. He will not. Not because he doesn't want to. He wants to, but somebody has to be praying. Whether you know it or not, somebody prayed you into Christendom. And so you have the responsibility to pray others in. Can I have an amen to that? Without God, man cannot. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, without me you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can't even breathe without me. The same Methodist church in America now is saying their priests can be open to same-sex marriage. In fact, I saw the picture of a particular one. I think his first name is Gary or whatever. And he was administering the communion. Communion. The communion is the table of the Lord. It's not the table of the devil. Jesus took communion with the disciples. It was called the Last Supper before he went to Gethsemane. The communion is a symbolism of the body, the broken body of the Lord Jesus and the shed blood which purchased our redemption. Colossians 1, verse 14, verses 13, 14 tell us that we have been redeemed by Christ. Come on, give me the scripture. Let's go there quickly. I'm going to come back to my Romans. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 is one of my favorite scriptures. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Jesus purchased our redemption through his blood. And somebody is practicing same-sex marriage and administering the holy, holy communion. A lifestyle that is fully opposed or fully against a lifestyle that contradicts what you are trying to administer. And watch it. America has accepted it. It's coming to Nigeria. There are already underground gay pastors in Nigeria. They're just waiting for legislation. I mean, I've seen a Nigerian bishop who doesn't live here. Lives abroad, but is gay. And some of them are still under G. Some of them in Pentecostal churches on the ground, just waiting for legislation, and then they can say, yeah, they come out of the closet. There are some worship leaders in churches, gay. And the Bible is so clear about that lifestyle. In Romans 1, the Bible says that they knew God, but they did not retain his knowledge as God. And so he gave them over to a reprobate mind. The mind is important. Where the mind goes, the man follows. A reprobate mind for them to do things that are not convenient. Go to Romans chapter 1. Let me show you that scripture. We're going everywhere tonight. That's why it's Bible study. Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to take it from verse 20, 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Imaginations is in the mind, all right? And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, terrible affections, vile, wicked affections. For even their women, did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Let's be honest. And likewise, also the man leaving the natural use of the woman. The man is supposed to use the woman, not use as in use like a tool, but I mean have union, sexual intimacy with the woman. But then they leave the natural use of the woman. They burned in their lust, in their strong desire. Lust means strong desire. One toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was made. Gay. Gay. That's in the Bible. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Gay lifestyle is not convenient. It is not. I mean, we can't begin to describe what they do, but it is not convenient. Have you ever in your life had difficulty passing out feces? Have you ever had that experience once? Maybe you didn't drink water. You were just eating bread and some hard stuff. And you went to the toilet and you wanted to do the big job and you couldn't do it. And you struggled and struggled and struggled until you had a tear in your anus. That day you will appreciate God. You will appreciate going to the toilet and using it easily. A friend of mine in this church, a lecturer in a university, just a few weeks ago, had surgery. He had to have surgery to be able to poo. He said he walked to the hospital himself and was crying before the doctor. He was sweating. He said, look, I am an emergency. Doctor said, no, we're dealing with emergencies. He said, I am an emergency. The emergency is here. So by the time he explained the situation, the doctor said, okay, let me try and examine. Let's see what we can do. And had to go in there. He had to wear his gloves and put some lubricants and try to help. He said the main thing in was like a rock. And the doctor was trying to break it mechanically. Now, first of all, imagine the fact that that is not honorable. It's belittling for you to strip yourself naked before a doctor to put his fingers in your anus to try to break feces. Imagine, I mean, first of all, that's not dignifying. But this was an emergency. And so nobody was thinking about any dignity here. Now imagine people having sex and that's where they go. It's not convenient. God gave them up to a reprobate mind. Mind. Ori wanted daru. That's what it means. A reprobate mind. Ori ti ope. A reprobate mind. A reprobate mind. When they say anyway, let's not go there. That's not. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. People will tell you, I hate God. Maybe not pretty much here in this country, but overseas. Yeah, even some in this country. I don't care about God. I met a girl in UI. She was an undergraduate. African studies. Ifa. So somebody brought her to this church and I tried to talk to her. I tried to be her friend. I'm not into God. I don't do God stuff. And if you look at her, very innocent, wearing glasses. You know, people that wear glasses, they look very innocent. I don't mean any disrespect, okay? But you know, you get what I'm saying? Didn't look like some of you guys, you know, have your hair shaved. And I mean, if you see some people, you say, this one is hard. This one looks like a professor's daughter. Have you seen a professor's daughter? A professor's first daughter. A nerd. Always reading books, 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 books. But the moment she opened her mouth to talk about God, you knew she was a hater of God. There are haters of God. They hate God. Some in America, you see it on their t-shirt, I hate God. The Bible already talks about it. This was written before they were born. So, it's going to happen. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Inventors of evil things. They invented dildos. Now they are turning our women into single mothers and baby mamas. You don't need to marry. Just have sex with some guy, have a kid, that's fine. Live your life, make money. And you really don't need any man to have sex with you. Just get a dildo and you'll be fine. You'll be all right. In fact, it's better than having a man in your life. Whoever invented that thing qualifies to be here. An inventor of evil things. God made a man and a woman for them to have sexual satisfaction. Not man and a goat. He could have created a goat out of Adam's ribs if the goat was enough to give him sexual intimacy and satisfaction. God could have created a dildo for the woman. He could have, if a woman needed that. You don't want to know how many of our girls today are lesbians and who are subscribing to the lesbian lifestyle. Just because some people invented. Whoever invented pornography is an inventor of evil things. God started photography. Devil, through his agent, started pornography. They thwarted photography and videography into pornography. The devil doesn't create anything good. He only corrupts the good that has been created. Are you with me? Have you ever seen the devil create $1 bill or 1,000 naira? He can't do that. He's a foolish guy. He can't do anything good. But what he does, they do the right one, the correct, genuine, authentic 1,000 naira. Then he enters some people to go and start printing money in some corner somewhere. Fake money. That's what he can do. Fake. Have you ever seen the devil create 2,000 naira notes before? He can't do that because there's no original 2,000 naira note. The mind. God gave them up. May God not give us up. Say a better amen. He gave them up. Gave them up. Gave them over to a reprobate mind. Continue. That's what God said. Oh yeah, continue. And I'll be looking at you. Continue. If you have ever seen the face of God, may you never see his backside. I said, may you never see his backside. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. So don't be disobedient to your parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They roll with the people that do such stuff. That's why it's important the company you keep. Who are you rolling with? Who are your best friends? See, I'm not into that kind of lifestyle, but I kind of just like the people that do, you know, like, it's fun to watch them. No. The Bible frowns at that. Why does the mind have to be renewed? It has to be renewed because that's your decision-making center. So go back to Romans chapter 12. And we were in verse 2 before I went everywhere. I knew where I was. Praise God. Amen. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world system. You know why? Before I read further. Why you should not conform to this world? Because Satan is the god of this world. Any Christian, any born-again Christian who tries to conform to the world, who tries to be like the world, is already living under the dictates of Satan unknowingly. Because Satan is the god of this world. He's the one running this town. He's the one running the show. It's not God running the world right now. Until Adam's lease runs out, Satan is in charge of the world. He's not in charge of our lives, but he's in charge of the world system. Pastor, where did you get that from? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Media, can you go there quickly? I still have my finger on Romans 12 here. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. But if our gospel be hidden, It is hidden to them that are lost. Move on. In whom the God, small letter G, the God of this world, that is not the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is Satan. The God, small letter G, of this world has blinded the minds of them. He likes to do bad things. He likes to make people go blind. That's his job, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He has blinded their minds. Their minds. Your mind is not in your chest. Your mind is up here. The brain is the hardware. The mind is the software. The software makes the hardware work. He has blinded the minds of them which believe not. The minds of the unbelievers are dark. That's why you preach the gospel to them. They don't know what you're talking about. So what are you saying? I don't need no God. I live my life. I have a job. I got a car. Got a house. What do I need God for? Excuse me. Because their minds are blind. Why has he blinded their mind? Lest the light. Otherwise, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The glorious gospel of Christ is light. Can I have an amen to that? People see light. Light. The moment they get born again, light comes. Before then, it's darkness. So he blinds their mind so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, will not shine unto them. So that they can continue in darkness. How do you pray for a family member that is not born again? You stop wasting your time saying, Lord, save Uncle Fred. Uncle Fred really needs to be born again, Father. I'm fasting and praying in the name of Jesus that you save him. No. The grace of God that leads to salvation has appeared to all men, including Uncle Fred. So it's a wrong and it's a waste of time saying, God, save him. God is not going to come down to save him. Your prayer, which will be effective in that scenario, is to say, Lord, I take authority in the name of Jesus. His mind is blinded. So it's like a fold, a shield. And hijab is over his mind. So it's a veil. I remove that veil covering the mind of Uncle Fred in the mighty name of Jesus. That's one, part one of that prayer. Part two, and I command the light of the glorious gospel of Christ to shine into his heart in the name of Jesus. Part three, Lord, surround him with people that will preach the gospel to him. Boom. The job is going to be done. I mean, I've seen this work like this. Over the years, when I learned this from Papa Kenneth E. again, and I've used it myself. I've seen it work in my family. I've seen it work in other people's family. I was at home a couple of years ago, and one of my mentees in the U.S. called me and said, Pastor Fred, you remember my uncle? That uncle married, you know this American comedian, Martin Lawrence. Is that, you know him? He's a filmmaker. So this man married Martin Lawrence's sister, something like that. There's a connection with Martin Lawrence. But this man is a Nigerian. And I think then he was in the U.S. police when I traveled. I met him. So this young lady that I mentor and her husband called me. I was home in Nigeria and said that that man was in their home. And he was going through some stuff. Rough time at work, rough time in his business, rough time in his marriage. And he was just considering all kind of options. But she wanted him saved. And man, Rennie is on fire. That's the name of my mentee, Rennie. She's on fire for Jesus. She was a Catholic girl until I met her. She came to Nigeria. I met her here, spoke to her about Christ. Our fiancé introduced that to me. And I prayed. And I took her to the room there, upstairs, first floor, former Expression House building. We were there then. Prayed, ministered the Holy Ghost. Boom, she got the Holy Ghost. And from that day, she got on fire. Till today, she's on fire. And she said, Pastor Fred, I wanted to pray because I want this man to be saved. I said, no, you are going to do the praying. Okay, am I going to pray? So I said, this is how to pray. Exactly the way I've explained it to you. She prayed it that night. She ministered to him that night. He got born again that night in their house. North Carolina. Can I have an amen to that? The word of God works. The mind. The mind. So we are back to Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. This is an instruction from the Holy Spirit. Don't conform to the world. See, anything you see the world is doing, don't do it. Don't join the bandwagon. Unfortunately and sadly, because the world is not conforming to the church, the church is now conforming to the world. You want the church to look like a clubhouse so that it can be attractive to young people. You want our music to be like the one in the club so that it can appeal to them. Let's make our church user-friendly. I wonder how many people will be able to help and really get saved if they come and discover that our lifestyle is just like theirs. The only difference is that you can tongue. That's the only difference. You can speak in tongues. And over time, if they listen well, they can mimic you. They don't have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't take much intelligence to say, people say trabaye now. Isn't that a slang? What is the meaning of trabaye? Is it any language? Is it any particular language? Trabaye? Trace it. You will discover, you trace it to the fact that it's a mockery of our speaking in tongues. And some of you also say it. They are mocking everything we're doing. Everything. They are watering down the gospel, making every attempt to make the church look like the world. So that, you know, and some pastors, no thanks to them. See, so that they can come. So that they can come. When they come, do they find Christ-like people in the church? Or do they find those who will take them back to where they're coming from? Or even is the church like exactly where they're coming from? So it's like their natural habitat. Excuse me. This is my personal opinion, and I'm going to address this. I don't care the controversy that's going to come from it very soon. You know, I see guys wearing cap into church now. I mean boys. I see men wearing full traditional hat into church. Now, there is no place in the Bible where the Bible says that men cannot wear a hat. It talks about women to cover their head. But it also talks about, in that same chapter, says that their hair is their covering. Okay? So that's fine. So we Pentecostal, we're covered. How about men wearing full cap, like an Owambe party, such that when you look at some church pictures now, you can hardly tell whether it's a church service or an event. Has that ever bothered you? Have you ever asked questions about our own fathers who would wear cap from home? But the moment they got to the church, they removed their caps and entered the church and had the service, no matter their position in the society, even if they were the president, they will fold their caps until after service and then wear it again. I know it's a cultural thing, but our culture speaks something. Don't tell me it's just cultural, it's just cultural. Even the Bible is cultural. When Paul was talking to the early church and was telling them that women should keep quiet in church, he was the culture he was addressing. Because in that church, the men were sitting on one side, the women on the other side, and then the preacher will be teaching the scriptures, and the wife will stand up and say, "Hey, did you hear what he said? He's talking about you. He's talking to you." So Paul said, "Keep quiet. If you have anything to say, ask your husband at home." It was a culture he was addressing. If the Christ in you does not affect your culture, I wonder if that Christ is in you at all. There is a culture of the world. When we go for a wedding reception, let's know we're in a wedding reception. When we come to a church service, let's know that the Almighty God is in the service. Can I tell you something about the Yoruba culture, for example? Those of you who might not know. As a young man that I am, if I'm going to greet an elderly man in Yoruba land, and I'm wearing a cap, if I've been well trained by my parents, I must remove my cap. Like, for example, my father in the Lord, or someone even older than me, and prostrate or, you know, bend,
to greet them, or just courtesy to greet them. And then once we are done with that, I wear my cap. You remove the cap as a mark of honor. If we can remove our cap as a mark of honor to a man that we see, how much more God, the God of the whole universe? When we were young, the way we were trained in the 80s, we were cussing out each other on the street. You know, boys cussing out, bye, yeah, yeah. The moment we got in front of a church, we kept quiet. We walked past the church, then we continued cussing. If you were telling your friends lies, 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 we told a lot of lies, trying to impress other people. Like, for example, I told my friends that my family had a land phone. We didn't have a land phone. But I told them, because I saw it in my uncle's house in UI, number 20, Parry Road. My uncle was a professor, was a medical professor. And I liked that thing, but we didn't have it in my house. But I told my friends in school, we had it. So one afternoon, they said they wanted to come and see our phone. I said, okay, no problem. Line, line, line. Then there was a church beside my house. When we got in front of the church, I kept quiet. No service was ongoing, but we were taught that God was in the house. And when we got to my house, I told them to stay outside. I was the only one that went inside. I said, you will hear the ringing of the phone now. Smart guy. And I put some stuff together and I was doing grung, 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 grung. And I came out. Did you hear? I said, oh, yeah, we heard it. But can we see? No, no, no. My mom won't allow that. Let's go. Children. But even as a child, we knew not to lie in front of a church building. We knew not to curse. The moment we got to the church, we didn't curse. We stepped beyond the church building to the next building. We continued cursing. We had this awe that God was in the house. Today, people go to church for 1 year and they cannot sense God in any of the services. My greatest quest in the expression house is that people will come in here, no matter the number, come in here and say, ah, I have experienced God. I have encountered God. Like Jacob woke up in Genesis 28:16. He said, Jacob woke up out of his dream and said, surely the Lord is in this place. But I knew it not. The Lord is in this place. Ah! In fact, he went on to say in the next verse, he said, this place is the gate of heaven and it is the house of God. One lady, she's in the UK now, was invited by a friend from another church. After one service in the expression house, she went back to that friend and fought really hard. Why? What have I done? He said, you've been going to that church for so long and you never invited me? He said, for the first time in my life, I experienced God in the church service. I didn't know who preached. I didn't know who led the praise worship. I didn't know who led the prayer. I didn't know who led the medley. But the person met God. She became my friend on a personal level. Started talking, started mentoring her and all of that. She's in the UK now, to the glory of God. In fact, the two of them are in the UK now. They traveled one after the other. When I had the opportunity to interact, they said, the church they used to attend, I won't mention, you all know the church, very popular. They said, on a good day, the title of the pastor's message could be 7 steps on how to not date a stupid boyfriend. 7 steps. Sunday service. So I said, what happened to the guys? Because that's a message for the ladies. How to not date a stupid boyfriend. What happened to the guys? And then, so what did you hear? Let's even say that's like Pink and Purple Connect. So let's not criticize any church. What happened the next Sunday? Well, maybe 3 steps to breakthrough, business, whatever. What happened the next Sunday? It was about this and that. What happened the next Sunday? Really nothing about God. These are just humanistic things that you can learn in Ibadan Business School, Lagos Business School, and stuff like that. She said they normally have what we call a blaze. They have their own ablaze. She said the first time in her life that she really experienced ablaze was when she came here, because their own ablaze is a fashion parade. Now, when ablaze is coming like this, you are bothered about what you're going to wear. Said it was a culture shock for them when they came for our own ablaze. People were praying in the Holy Ghost, people rolling on the floor, people shouting and screaming and listening to God's word and taking notes. It was God, Jesus, 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 Holy Spirit. I said, that's what a church should be. Let the club be the club, let the church be the church. Don't let the church become clubby, because the club is not going to be churchy.
Can I have an amen to that? We have work to do. My time is up, but I take 1 minute at least to finish verse 2. Just to, I'm stuck at verse 2, can you imagine? And this was not my plan. I didn't plan to be stuck in the A part of verse 2. The A part said, "And be not conformed to this world." And I got stuck there. "And be not conformed to this world." If that's all you go home with tonight, I think it's good. "And be not conformed to this world." So anything worldly, the Bible warns me to not conform to the world. Let's be open to the Holy Spirit. In your dressing, if this is the way they are doing it in the world, the Bible said, do not conform to the world. Simple. You don't need no pastor to come and check out your wardrobe and select for you what to wear, what not to wear. The Bible simply says, be not conformed to the world. The world does what they call body painting. I was shocked the first time I saw that on Instagram. Naked lady, all naked, but then painted. Paint. How do you do paint to cover your nudity? Painted the breasts, painted everywhere, but you could see that this is a buck naked human being. That's the world. Listen, it's not going to get better in the world. It will never get better in the world. In the 80s, when I was growing up, ladies used to wear what they call jumper. If you wore it as a girl, everybody born again will preach hell fire to you. You're going to hell. Jumper? They saw your navel? Oh, you're on your way to hell. As I grew older, I saw it was getting worse. Ladies started exposing the cleavage. I never saw cleavage growing up. Only God knows how many we've seen now. Now you know it's beyond cleavage. Another time, it was low waist jeans, and then you would see the, I don't know what they call that, the junction, where one road goes like this and the other goes like this. And they don't care. Now people wear a very long gown, very long, and say, "Oh, praise God." Don't ever get to see the side. The slit is up here. And I mean the way to events. At an event, I saw one MC on Instagram. He saw somebody. I know that. Somebody now wrote his name there and said, "Sorry, uncle." He was carried away. It's getting worse. If anybody ever told us that a time would come that a lady would be audacious enough to wear just a net gown, net. The only thing you see is bra and pant, net. Some have taken it beyond that level, net only. You will look. You will talk. And she doesn't send. Guys will not be having accidents. No! Because they are not looking where they are going. They will pour wine on each other. They will say, "Oh, man, sorry. Because they know what they're looking at. It is going to get darker in the world. I will not be shocked in 5 years' time if on the streets of UI, on the campus of UI, somebody just decides to go naked to class. It now depends whether we still have sane people at the gate or in the lecture theater. If we still have sane lecturers who say, "No, you don't come. You don't dare come to my class like that. No, come on, get up. Or does it? Please, miss, come and sit in front. It is not going to get better in the world, but in our lives, may the light of Christ shine. Oh, can I have an amen to that? We have a strong warning from the Lord: do not conform to the world. I will end it by reading the other part of it, the B part of it. It says, "But be ye transformed." But be ye transformed. How? How do you get transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Let me close my Bible. You get transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why this mind renewal program is very important. Transformed means you have been transported or translated from one form into another form. You were in a form before, but now you need to be in another form, a better form. You were darkness, now you need to be light. You were failure, now you need to be success. You were Whatever you were, undesirable element, but now the cynosure of all eyes. That's one form into another form. The changing of forms, transformation. I was like that, but I thank God I'm no longer like that. This is who I am now. But for you to move from that point A to point B, the Bible says, can only happen through the renewing of your mind. If you don't renew your mind, you will still be thinking like the old you, and you can never grow higher than your thought pattern. Your thought life is important. Proverbs 23 verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You think like a failure, you're a failure already. I was talking to somebody. I said, why are you so stuck to this guy? He's just insulting you. The girlfriend is embarrassing you. And you are running after him like he's your God. Can't you look up and ask God for help? He said, Pastor Fred, that's why I've missed you. I need this ginger. This ginger. I said, no, you don't need me as a ginger. Get your Bible. Talk to Jesus. You know, people, we grew up in Mokola, and they're looking at somebody abroad. Somebody abroad. No, my help does not come from abroad. It comes from above. Can I have an amen to that? Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from America. No, my help cometh from the Lord. He can use America. He can use Nigeria. Are you with me? He couldn't think the way I was thinking because something has happened. Even though we grew up in Mokola together, over time, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I've got my mind renewed by the word of God and to the word of God. May your mind be renewed to the word of God. There was the story of a man. We'll look at it next Thursday. We're going to start from there. 2 Kings chapter 7. Elisha, the man of God, gave a prophecy. Tomorrow about this time, at the gate of Samaria, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel. Tomorrow about this time, at the gate of Samaria. Tomorrow, about this time, will a bag of rice be sold for 40,000 naira and 2 bags of beans for 40,000 naira? And a lord on whose hand the king leaned, because he didn't have his mind renewed to the word of God. He couldn't fathom it. How does that happen? How can it happen? How can someone like you have a scholarship to go abroad? If I pray for you now, may you have international scholarships. Some say, amen! But in their mind, like me, I know my GPA. My CGPA is pitiful. Is it by your CGPA? Some things come by CGPA. Some things come by mercy. Have you heard of the mercy of God? The mercy of God makes up for your inadequacies. You just know you are not qualified. Not if they are, dashing it, not be you. But God chooses you still. That's mercy. Elisha believed. The man did not believe. And Elisha told him, tomorrow about this time it will happen. Your eyes will see it. For you to know I'm not a false prophet, but you will not partake of it. And it happened to the man like that. Why? Why couldn't the man just say, Elisha, the man of God, may it be unto us according to the word of God. But he said, if God were to open the windows of heaven, might, look at his words, might these things be? Guys, we are going on a journey. Are you going to go on the journey with me? Make sure you come next Thursday. Don't come alone. You see, everybody in the church, all of those empty chairs, everybody needs this topic. Every single one of us. I'm trusting God. By the time we are done with the process itself, in maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months, nobody that really comes every Thursday and listens and does what they're supposed to do, because I'll be giving you assignments. Practical. It's a process. Nobody will be the same, in Jesus' name. Stand on your feet. Thank you for the extra time. Hallelujah. Give him thanks for the word tonight. Give him thanks. Appreciate him. Father, we honor you and we praise you. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for the word. You are our teacher, and we are really, really grateful to have you as a father and a friend who wants to teach us your ways, your ways of thinking, so we can think like you and talk like you and act like you and advance the frontiers of your kingdom here on earth. We're grateful to be alive at such a time as this. In the midst of the darkness in our country, we are the light of the world. We honor you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.